Time to talk about the 7th annual South Shore Science Festival. It's going to be a virtual again this year, but it is coming up on a Saturday, April 24th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the co-sponsors, I guess, co-hosts, if you will, Kathy Hogan and Manuel Barroso are both here to tell us all about it. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Manuel. Nice to see you both again.
Hi. How are you? Hi, Joe. Yeah.
Hi, you, Joe. Thank you for having us.
Really sure. A pleasure. It's always a fun event, and I know that you're both very, very passionate about this. It's hard to believe it's the 7th annual, Kathy. Was it virtual last year also?
Yeah, it was. Manuel put it together in less than a month, in just a few weeks after everything was shut down. I don't know how he did it.
And how did it go?
It went very well. You know, it was thank you to also the support of, you know, several of the people that were volunteering to do the physical one. They were willing to help us to do the virtual one. A little tough, we had to reduce the number of presenters because we only have limited time and only one channel. But it was good. They were very good people. Actually, the thing that was a little different versus other years, other than being virtual, is that people that was they have relatives that live in other places, they were able to join. We have people that join from Spain, from the UK, people from join from different states, even a couple of people from Canada. It was nice. You know, people from other places had the opportunity to enjoy the festival as well.
Yeah, that is one benefit of all of this virtual communication. It does open it up to folks who might normally be able to participate in it. So I think that's a silver lining. I think it's something that's going to stay with us to some extent post-pandemic as well for a lot of different activities. But maybe if we could let folks know a little bit about the history of this particular event, how it all came to be.
You want me to tell?
Sure.
Okay. I joined the Quincy Center for Innovation in 2014 because I'm trying to get my idea launched and into practice of how to teach kids basic physics through sports and games and other ways too. And I gave a presentation at the Center for Innovation shortly after I got there. Eric Brown was one of the members there who had attended it. And a few weeks later, he met somebody from the Cambridge Science Festival. And she told him that they were looking for more venues. And so he came back to me and he said, why don't we do a science festival here? And I said, I'd love to. I was hoping for some kind of collaboration by being a member here. And then I didn't know Manuel at the time, but Eric told him about it. And then a week or so later when I met Manuel and we talked about it and he was delighted to be a part of this. So that's how it got started in 2014, actually, the groundwork. And actually, I've been using that term ground in my approach to what I'm trying to do, because children can learn physics from the ground up. And I mean it literally and figuratively, because you can start learning it in the playground. For example, through slides, which you learn about gravity, you learn about inclined planes. Okay, just a little example. So that's how it got started. And every year we've just continued to do it. I never thought it would be something that lasted this many years. I just thought of it as a one-time thing. But Manuel hasn't let that happen.
What did you think, Manuel, when you first heard about it?
Well, I think it was a great opportunity as well. You know, it was about the collaboration of the Innovation Center. We have a lot of people, talented people there, and also wanted to have opportunities for all the children to learn about how fun it is to have a STEM and science and just go and physically learn from people to share experiences. So we started, you know, by just having people from the Innovation Center and a couple others to visit us. But then as we grow, we also incorporated having other major corporations to come and have experts to share their expertise with the people, some innovation people. But also we have some schools to have, through their science fairs, that we were invited to be a judge, and we invited some of them to come and share kids that were more close to the age of other kids, which is also nice when you hear from your own peers that they're having fun doing science and inventions and so on. So they get very enthusiastic and really continue to encourage us. And some of those kids, just by telling us when they come out of the festival or during the festival, so Thank you for having this. Now I know that I want to be a scientist, or now I want to be an engineer. So that's just very rewarding and say, well, we shouldn't stop doing that because there are more kids can have in that, we bring them that opportunity. Some of them didn't have the opportunity to visit the Museum of Science yet at that time, but then they get to New York Museum of Science in Boston, and the Museum of Science came to couple of our festivals, and then we gave some tickets to the people, so they were able opportunity to there. So now it's opening the eyes to take advantage of all the wonderful things that are around Queens and around Boston and Cambridge.
Yeah, so what would you say is the kind of overall goal of the festival, you know, if you would? What is its actual mission or purpose?
Well, it inspires kids to, you know, to like science and also to understand that it's fun. And, you know, that it's
not
so fun.
Hands-on experiences with it. Yeah. And a chance to meet people who are scientists mm-hmm. and engineers who they may not have been able to meet in another situation. So brings them face-to-face. Or in this case, screen to screen,
right.
Screen to screen. Well, which is still fine because you have an interaction, right? You haven't interacted. So we have had opportunity to bring at least three Nobel laureates in the past. And we're going to talk a little bit more, but we have surprises for this one. But, you know, just imagine just having a Nobel laureate to be able to talk to you and get in the same room with them and talk about the discoveries. And a lot of kids get inspired of that. And the most wonderful things that they know, that they learn is there are regular people like any of them, like any of us. So they're just people that are dedicated and they got passion about something. And they just work through their passion. They don't have to be out of this world too.
Right. Curious, have you heard from any folks who attended, you know, some of the earlier festivals, and are they getting into science now? Is that something that actually worked and inspired them to follow that as either a career path or at least an interest?
Well, certainly, well, what I have learned is, you know, some kids really get to like it more. They found the fun side. And then, you know, as they choose their, you know, the things they would go to high school, they make it easier for them to understand, you know, science itself or math, mm-hmm. because they know that they can learn through games as well.
And we do have kids presenting their own science fair projects.
Yes.
Which started a few years ago.
Right.
And so that's another way for the kids themselves to be presenters, not just attendees.
Right. That's what I was curious about. Say a 17-year-old attended the first science festival, and now that person is 24 years old. You know, is that what they're pursuing for their education or for their career? I wonder.
Some of them do, and some others actually. As I can see, some of the kids was interesting because there was one girl that she was coming with her older sister to the festival as she was a little girl. And then as she grew up, said, I want to present now. And she came and presented mm-hmm. some presentations. So, you know, they become, and you know, and so they're really becoming into it because they were inspired by the other kids. And then they work it out and say, can I present now? And they were able to present. And some kids presented also virtually last year, which was new for many of them in Zoom. They were recently successful. And we will have also some other kids this year. For example, Santana School or a few other schools that will be presenting a couple of little interactive sessions as well.
Yeah. So they're teaching too at the same time. That's another avenue they probably didn't anticipate themselves following was being a teacher.
You know, right. as a teacher myself, I think that's a really important skill to be able to have.
Yes.
It's one thing just to show somebody how to do something, but to teach them, it takes a special skill. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great skill that would be great if it was developed in everybody to a certain extent, because everybody gets into a position where they need to, like in a job, to orient a new person to the job. It's nice if you can do it in the, like as a teacher would do it, and yes. not just do this 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And recognizing how people learn, or everybody learns, a little bit differently. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
And furthermore, when they teach or when they do the experiments and, you know, interaction sessions, they learn even more, right? Because they have to prepare the materials. They have to make it in a way that is fun for other kids, because one right. of the objectives of all the presenters have to make it fun for the attendees. So they inspire the others. So they do it's not just a science project. They have to do something to have other people to have fun with it.
Well, isn't that the scientific method? Or it's asking questions, right? You do something, you find out what happened, you ask why it happened, and then you learn from that.
why it worked and why didn't it work.
Right.
Yeah, and then you try another method, yeah. You know, the kids probably do that all the time anyways.
Yes.
Without realizing it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is to be able to point out to them that, you know, you are a scientist in many ways, and we want to show them how it is. And it's enough, gives you a new way of looking at yourself.
So let's talk about this year's event. As I mentioned, it is April 24th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It is being held virtually over Zoom due to the pandemic, but it still sounds like it's going to be really, really interesting, almost out of this world. So tell me what's going to be happening.
So we're going to have three parts, and I'm going to let also Kathy talk about those three parts. We have a part, you know, for different age groups, you know, just so they can attend the Muslims have in the morning from 10 to 11:30. We want to have the kids that are, any kids under 10 year olds will enjoy it, as well as their parents. There are other kids also will enjoy it, but major those age with it. Then we have from 11:30 to around 11:45 to 1:30, the age group of between normally 11 and 16-year-olds will enjoy the most. And also at that time, we'll have also kids presenting some activities. And then we have another the third session that go from 1:30 to 3 p.m., which also going to have is more for more kids above 13-year-old all the way to adults. And we just recently added a fourth section. That fourth section, we have a night, 7:30 p.m., and then it's a Nobel laureate, Fred Doherty. We're going to be Peter Doherty will be presenting. Peter Doherty is he is very instrumental in identifying how our immune system works. He is doing a lot of research in the vaccination for the current COVID. But actually, he's presenting from Melbourne, Australia.
Really?
So, yeah. And this he's going to be 14 hours away. That, you know, having virtual give us opportunity to have that caliber of a person presented to this in the festival. And also, Kathy has been always wondering how we're going to do time travel. So we're gonna also going to do time travel. So we're going to be presented on Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Australian time, and we're going to be watching him here on Saturday, 7:30 p.m.
Right, yeah, we're literally
kind of a,
crossing time zones, yeah.
Time zones. He's going to be in the morning, he's going to be sunshine, we're going to be here, you know, he's going to be looking at the sunrise, we're going to be looking at the sunset, but at the same time, talking to him.
Yeah, not only that, but they're going into their winter season soon. We're coming into our spring and summer season.
Exactly. Yes, and that, you know, that's also really nice, you know.
What was his name again, Manuel? I'm sorry.
Sorry?
His name again, I'm sorry.
It's Peter Doherty.
Peter Doherty.
Doherty, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll have also his link in the website so people can find more about him.
Wonderful, very good.
We will encourage people to read about his biography and his work.
Yes, for sure.
He also writes for the general public. He doesn't just write, you know, medical articles, scientific articles. Yeah, so, and he has some kind of a blog or something that is also geared to the general public. So he's not just a scientist for scientists. He's a scientist for the people.
Right, breaking it down so everybody can understand it, which I think is important. Yeah.
And well, yeah, by the way, just something quick. There was also thank you to Nobel Laureate's school visits with El Shapiro helping us to you know, the contact with him.
Right.
It was, you know, really
very good. Yeah. I know, Manuel, you have a visual you could show folks of the events that day, if you could, so they can kind of get an idea for how to plan out their day. You know, when they're attending the festival.
Sure. Let me just go ahead and bring it up.
Sure. Visuals are always great. It's a great way to learn, right? As people learn visually.
Yeah. So, okay. So here we have a website, and in the website you can click simply here to reserve. As you move along, it will go to the different time zones, so you can, different time frames, you can reserve there. But also you can see the live schedule. Here we can see the different sessions that we will have, and you can identify all the detail that is happening there.
Oh, okay, so you can actually choose which ones you want to attend.
Right, exactly, okay. And you can reserve from there as well.
Very good. And is there a cost at all to attend the festival?
No, it is free. It's all free. you know, we have all the time has been free for all these 7 years.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, and then it's, you also probably will see a flyer like this somewhere going through, you know, the people you may know, you know, through the school department that is helping us to share the news with everybody. So you can always click here, or you take your phone and scan into where you watch the QATV, and you can point directly into the TV into the QR code, and you get into your phone directly.
Yeah, bring that up if you could, Manuel. It's not up just yet. Bring that up.
Yeah, and then in the phone, it pops up. You click on your phone, and then right there in your phone has a place to reserve. Right.
Yeah, bring that bulletin board up if you could, so we can see that. Yeah.
So when I click here, it goes straight, and now it's gonna show how it should go straight into the. This is what would you see in your phone? You would click directly, make a reservation.
Yes.
Reserve there, and then you can select that or any of the other time frames.
Yes.
Very simple. I think by this time, I think everybody's also familiar with Eventbrite.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And do you have that flyer with the actual QR code that you could show folks as well?
Yes. Let me put it up. QR code. This is the one that you...
There we go.
There it is.
Yeah, so you can just scan into it. And we can also... that will be available in... you go to our website. It's very easy. SouthshoreScience.online.
Very simple and easy to access, and we're all getting so savvy now with all of our virtual communications that it should be no problem.
Right.
Well, you know, Joe, you were asking about last year.
Yeah.
doing it this way, and the only camera that I had was in my phone, and the only way I was able to manage it was by putting it on the end of my piano. Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. So
we've come a long way in a short
really,
time.
Really, yeah. Really, you have.
So, Kathy, tell me a little bit about how NASA is going to be represented at this year's Science Festival.
Right. Well, it started when I read about 2 or 3 years ago an article in the Patriot Ledger about Dr. Fred Califf III and how he is the chief map maker for NASA's Mars project at the Jet Propulsion Lab. And he's from Quincy, graduated from Quincy High School, 1987. And he named two places on Mars, Gale Crater, for his hometown. There's a Quincy Mars and there's a Squantum Mars. And who'd have ever thunk it?
And he's going to be at the festival, yes?
Yeah. So this year I decided, why don't I see if I could get him to be a speaker? And he accepted right away. He was delighted to do it. So, and Manuel and I met with him on a Zoom meeting about a month ago and got to know him a little bit and told him more about what the festival is like and so forth.
Yeah, and do you know, will he be actually able to show pictures of Quincy and Squantum Mars?
I hope so. I hope so. I've been in touch with somebody else who works for NASA on the East Coast. He's on the West Coast. And she has DC Science Comedy. And her name is Kasia Patel. And she's going to interview him. And she has made a 3D rover. And I asked her to if she could display that. And so that's one thing. And I also suggested if there was a globe of Mars, like we have a globe of the Earth, that would be nice to be able to display that. So I don't know exactly what will be shown, but I'm hoping there will be, you know.
Yeah, and he got some little, you know, samples that he will show, little samples there.
Yeah, again, visuals, you know, it's a great way to learn, especially for younger kids, I am sure. But do you encourage, you know, parents to join their kids when they take part in the festival?
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because one other thing is probably we have talked in the past, it's great for the kids that learn how to have fun with science, but it's also as important that the parents play with them. So because as a kid, it's always nice when your father is or your mother is playing with you and you involve science and games and so on. It becomes really something that you really start enjoying.
Yes.
Because, it's, you know, if you're playing, your dad is having a time to play with you.
Yeah.
It's like having that time, you know, and when you're learning, you're playing. And I think the best teacher having is, and we always picture that in my mind is you have a successful kid, it's always a triangle. You need a kid, you need a parent, and you need a teacher. So those three need is, it's not like if I put my kid in the school, he's going to learn everything. If I try to teach him, he's going to learn everything. It's always a combination of the three that really make a successful kid.
So you do want folks to register beforehand, is that right, to take part in the festival?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we have limited capacity, but it's a lot of weeks. But it registered. We're going to be two ways. They register and they will be able to interact and have access to do Q&A. Everybody who comes a little late, they will be able to access that to our YouTube channel. So we're now in the YouTube channel, going to be broadcasted live as well.
Okay.
So they, for whatever reason, they come late, and then they will be able, still will be able to see that via the YouTube channel.
Okay. They just won't be able to interact, but they can still watch it.
Yes.
Okay. And again, SouthShoreScience.online is the website to go to.
Yes.
I just wanted to add about Fred Califf. He grew up in Southwest Quincy. He went to the Lincoln Hancock School and to Sterling Middle School. Mm-hmm. And so he said he grew up around Liberty and Center Streets. So anybody from that particular area, might take a special interest in somebody from their neighborhood who has been so successful. And he told us that there was a quarry not far from where he lived. And he was became very interested in the stones and the rocks. And his grandfather was interested in rocks too. And this interest developed as a child, just in his neighborhood.
How about that? And now he's
scientist. And he also went to UMass Boston, where he majored in either geology or earth science.
Again, the formative years are the most important. You never know, but what it'll lead to down the line. But they're very important for sure.
And that comes back to that time. The fact that he enjoyed that time with his grandfather about rocks and learning that, spending the time, that becomes his inspiration to become a scientist.
Yes. All right. Again, it is the South Shore Science Festival, 7th South Shore Science Festival, Saturday, April 24th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And SouthShoreScience.online is the place to go to get all the information. Kathy Manuel, anything else we should add right now?
Yes. Yes. The mayor is issuing a proclamation of April 24th as Dr. Fred Califf the Third Day in Quincy. Okay. Yeah. And Councillor Harris is going to be helping with reading the proclamation to Fred Califf. So wanted to make sure everybody is aware of that. And Fred honored his city, Quincy, by naming parts of Mars for it. And so this is a chance for Quincy to honor Fred Califf for doing that, for recognizing his hometown. So, everybody should be proud of him for what he did.
Yeah, and the most important, that's another example of how a kid, with having a good time can go all the way out of this world, on the way to the next planet.
That's right. Yeah. You've gone interstellar now.
From Quincy, Mass, to Quincy, Mars.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, of course, the postage to get a letter that far would be fiercely expensive.
Yeah, and just a couple other things just to mention is that, so we have both scientific also telling us, entertaining activities and telling stories how they help to save lives with them, medical instruments. We're going to have with positive ACS helping to tell how fun it is to be an engineer and why you all have the fun. And I'm going to Kathy talk a little bit about what happened in the morning. It's a lot of great stories for children in the early, in the first session.
We're going to start with a story that will appeal to the youngest children. Mm-hmm. It has to do with colors. And then we're going to be talking about the color that comes from the sun, from light, and how when it enters a plant, the chlorophyll in the plant, the plant starts manufacturing sugar and starches. Which
photosynthesis, I remember.
Photosynthesis, yes. And which is food. Basically, it's just food out of light. And it's pretty amazing when you think about it. This part will be shared with me by Mary Flowers, who is an artist. And then we're going to have a storyteller, Judith Black, telling stories to do with trees. the Quincy Tree Alliance, Quincy Council, Quincy Climate Action Network, Joe Murphy, Faye Strigler, and Cindy C. are going to do a lot of things, showing us various things about trees, including some footage from the Arboretum.
Oh.
Yeah, they're going to be reading The Lorax, which is about being protective of trees.
Yes.
And we also have Marsha and the Positrons, and she's going to be doing songs to do with science.
Okay.
And yeah, so we have a lot of things going on. And this is also in recognition of Earth Day, because Earth Day is a couple of days before the festival.
That's right. Yeah, the 22nd, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And the kids from San Agatha School will present activities honoring Earth Day.
So. Very good. All right. Anything else we should
talk about? And Peter Doherty, and Dr. Peter Doherty, who is going to be appearing at 7:30. Mm-hmm. He's the one from Australia. And he is very timely because of this pandemic. In fact, he wrote a book in 2012 about pandemics and how we needed to be aware of the possibility of pandemics. So he is a very timely person to have as part of our festival.
Yeah, that sounds like something everybody would get something from, for sure. Yeah.
And,
and one more thing.
Yes, my assistant just passed me a reminder. I am curious to find out from Fred Califf if he chose to name Squantum because of the Harvard Air Meet that was held there in the early part of the 20th century, in which Amelia Earhart and various other early aviators. So I'm wondering, because of that was, you know, the birth of aviation. So that's why I'm wondering if that's why he chose Squantum as the other name.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear what he says. That's not where he was from. Yeah.
Right, right.
Everybody will discover that in the Science Festival.
That's right. You'll have to tune in and see.
Right.
All right. Thank you both. Really appreciate it. This sounds like it's going to be another great event, virtually or not. So I think you've got a great program put together, and I think a lot of folks will enjoy it.
Yeah, we greatly support, appreciate your time, Joe. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. All right. Have a good festival again this year. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Joe.
You're welcome.